Welcome to another edition of Garden Talk. Hi, Larry Mueller here. Great to have you with us today as we talk native plants and the opportunities that fall brings in the garden. Susan Carpenter will be talking with us throughout the program, and it's great to have her back. Also great to have Jill Nadeau stop by every once in a while. She sneaks in through the bushes and the native plants.
Hi, Larry.
Crawling around back there. Hi, Jill. Thanks a lot for being with us. You know, I have Jill here because she's a good spokesperson for our fall member drive. You count on the Ideas Network for great discussions, and it's your gift, any amount, doesn't make a difference, that makes these discussions possible. Listener support is the biggest source of funding for our shows, and this is your time to support Garden Talk and the Ideas Network in general. Just go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552. It's so important. Jill, how are we doing?
Well, last hour we heard from 29 donors, so thank you everyone who gave. Now, our goal this hour is to get 35 gifts, and that's by noon.
By noon. Help pay for the program. Yeah. All right. Well, we don't have much time. Help the programs you rely on every day when you give at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
You know, Wisconsin Public Radio is committed to quality. That's why we've been around for more than 100 years. And since listener donations make up the largest piece of funding for WPR programs, that quality is possible thanks to you.
Yeah, your contribution makes the programs possible and so many others as well. When you give, you're part of the quality you hear every day on WPR. You can make a difference right now with your gift at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
Now, despite what you may be seeing on social media, we live in a very generous society. We're quick to give to help a neighbor or a coworker in need, and we always chip in for good causes. And you can continue that tradition of generosity when you support WPR right now.
And if you've never given to WPR before, this would be a great time to step up and give right now. And when you do, you'll be funding the programs you and many others benefit from every day. And I'm looking at the data on many first-time donors, and it shows that first time around, a lot of people give $100 or maybe they give $10 a month. The amount really is up to you. The important thing is you make your first ever gift at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
My name's Kelly Davis, and I live in Whitewater.
I'm Kathy Ross, and I live in Whitewater. I'm originally from North Carolina, and there, public radio was very much part of my life. And so about 6 years ago, I came to southeastern Wisconsin to be closer to my family. And one of the things that my daughter told me before I got here was, Mom, you're going to love WPR. And she was right.
All the credit is mine for introducing my mother to WPR. Probably one of the better things I've done for you, huh, Mom? What do you think?
I would agree.
Yeah.
Make your contribution today because listener support makes Wisconsin Public Radio possible. Give now at WPR.org and click Donate.
That's right, Jim. Just go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552 to make your donation in support of the programs you count on. Larry Mueller with Jill Nadeau. And your support today of Wisconsin Public Radio keeps all the programs you enjoy going strong. And your contribution might be $10 a month, might be $100 a month. We appreciate and we count on every gift.
Absolutely. And we know you value your time, and we value your time, too. So giving to Wisconsin Public Radio takes just a few minutes. Tell us your name, your contact information, how much you want to give, and how you want to pay.
Yeah, it's quick and easy to do, and your gift right now really helps. So take the next couple of minutes to support the station you count on at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
And we've got about 50 minutes left in this hour, and we're looking for 35 people to join in. Remember, you make WPR possible when you give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And we've got a really cool added bonus for supporting the programs you love. You could win $1,000 to spend on bikes and cycling gear at Wheel and Sprocket. Just give now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. Sustainers, of course, those of you who make ongoing monthly gifts, you're automatically entered.
And if you're not a sustainer, well, just become one right now. It's easy to set up. It's monthly donations from your bank account or credit card. You can do that at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And you'll provide ongoing support for the programs you love. And you'll also get automatically entered in the drawings when we have member drives. Be like Judy in Eau Claire, who says, I listen to music and the Larry Mueller Show often. Or Matt in Waupun, who says, I enjoy listening to Larry and Chapter a Day. I look forward to it every day.
This is your chance to support Garden Talk, for sure. But all the programs, your gift is very powerful. It really makes a difference. Go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552 and make your contribution while you listen to our guest talk today. Susan Carpenter back with us on Garden Talk. She's the Senior Outreach Specialist and Native Plant Gardener at the UW-Madison Arboretum. And she's going to talk about why native plants are a good way to garden and how we can make the most of them. And I hope you'll join in, too. Give a call at 800-642-1234, or you can email us at ideas@wpr.org. Love to hear from you. Susan Carpenter, welcome back. Great to have you with us again.
Yeah, great to be here. Thanks, Larry.
How are things going at the Arboretum?
Well, things are going pretty well. I guess the main difference in the last few weeks or 10 days is that the fall color is really starting to develop. The trees, the shrubs, and of course all the grasses and, prairie grasses are turning their fall colors. And then we have the last of the blooming. So all the asters, goldenrods, and so forth, all those plants that bloom right there at the end of the season are all in bloom. So we had some lovely days and just beautiful color and not too much wind storms lately. So the leaves are kind of gently, the early ones are gently falling down, but it's really a beautiful time of year.
And a nice time to visit, really.
Yes, really. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and our grounds are open. Our visitor center is not open, but our grounds are open. So just so that listeners are aware, we are, of course, encourage everyone to follow the health guidelines of the state and the university. Information about the Arboretum is always available on our website at arboretum.wisc.edu.
Yeah. So let's talk about the benefits of growing native plants in our gardens and maybe some of your favorite native plants this time of the year.
Oh, wow. That's every time someone asks me about my favorite native plants, I'm kind of, oh, no, <It's> too many. But the benefits of growing native plants are many. Partly, one of the main benefits is that we have, when we grow native plants, we're growing plants that are suited to our climate and suited to our environment here in Wisconsin. So if we're in the southern part of the state, we grow plants that are suitable for southern Wisconsin, and in northern Wisconsin, the plants that are suitable there. And what that means is that the plants can survive the different variations of temperature, of moisture, they're adapted to the soil types and so forth. So we're working with nature when we're gardening with native plants. We're not kind of forcing something that doesn't really go. So that's why it's important to learn about the plants and to learn about your location and match those two so that we can get good results. So the benefits of the plants are that they support all the other life of our area. So they support the insects, support the birds, support the wildlife. In our garden at the Arboretum this year, it's been a little quieter than usual with the visitor center closed. So I have a great many more woodchucks digging and playing around with and having their young and so forth. Now, not everyone wants woodchucks in their garden, but another thing about native plants is that if you can grow a substantial enough area, it doesn't really matter that you have some wildlife there. They're not causing, you know, they're not just mowing down every plant there is. They're not, they're just digging a burrow and going about their business. So we can tolerate the eating that the insects and the other wildlife are doing because the plants are very exuberant and they reproduce well, they spread well, they get large, and there's really plenty of resources for all those critters.
Yeah. Are there some plants out there that people think of often as a native plant, but they really aren't native plants?
Well, sometimes I think people are so excited about plants in general, especially things that are attractive, at different times of year, that they just want to know about them. So I get lots of questions about plants that aren't native plants, but mm-hmm. That's fine because sometimes they'll be related to a native plant or there'll be something we can learn about those plants that apply to, across the board to our gardening. But I do have weeds in the garden sometimes and if I don't catch them, like, for example, I had some Chinese lanterns that had mm-hmm. Bloomed and turned. They have a bright orange husk yeah. over the fruit. So yeah. those were pretty obvious. And so, oh, look at that plant. I'm like, oh, yeah, that's one I'm going to be pulling out. But so that can happen. But otherwise, it's there's so many native plants to choose from and so many that are available. It just really expands your repertoire of what you have available to use in your garden. So short plants, tall plants. And actually, I end up in the native plant garden, I end up editing, if you will, out quite a few, if I have a garden that's shorter garden and it's going to be shaded by tall plants and some of my tall native plants get in there, we take those out. We just work those back so that they aren't shading the smaller natives that we want. So you've always got something to do in the native plant garden, but you don't have to water. And you don't fertilize, and you've got good sources of seeds that you can collect and use in other areas or give away to your friends. So there's lots of possibilities for activities, but you don't have to do you don't use pesticides, you don't use fertilizer, and you don't use you don't have to water. So those are kind of time savers for gardening.
Lots of good benefits there. Dee emailed. She sent a photo. I don't know if you can see it. It's a sedum in her front
yes.
garden.
Yep.
And it doesn't stay upright once it blooms. And this has happened for 3 years. She's just wondering if you had any thoughts on this, although it continues to thrive.
Yeah. Well, that's a great example of a plant that's blooming right now. And it's so active with insects and pollinators. The sedums are so lovely. And the problem, they do flop over like that. So just for listeners who can't see the picture, it would just be a clump of a sedum, which is about maybe between 12 and 18 inches tall with multiple stalks. And then it's just kind of relaxed itself out and has a hollow place there in the middle. The flowers are still beautiful. They're just sort of laying down. And I'm not an expert on sedums. They're not a native plant, but I have seen this before. And what it can be due to is the plant growing very well and effectively early in the season and getting fairly tall. And then, of course, the bloom time is this time of year. So as it blooms, then a lot of plants tend to do this. And after they bloom, they tend to kind of, I call it relaxing. they tend to lie down. But what you can do about it, and she said that she has one clump that does that and another clump growing in a different spot that doesn't do it. So what I understand is that you can do with sedums, if you have one like this one that she has, she could try two things. One is early in the season when it's coming up, just prune it back a little bit, well before blooming time, prune it back a little bit so that it stays a little shorter. The other thing is it's quite a large clump, so she could divide it in the spring.
Yeah, that'd be another way to do it.
Yeah, get it spread out. So what's usually happening is we've had ample moisture early in the season, the last 2 years for sure, and early this year. Then it got drier, and I think her sedum probably just grew really well and flopped down. It may be in richer soil. So here's a case where having rich soil, moist soil, it seems like it would be great for plants, but for some plants that do well in drier conditions, it can almost be too much of a good thing.
There you go. Susan Carpenter, our guest. Susan's the Senior Outreach Specialist, native plant gardener at UW-Madison Arboretum. Another one of my favorite gardeners is Jill Nadeau, who's come back through the sedum and is right in front of the microphone to talk about our fall member drive. And we're here. Hi, Jill. We're here to ask you to invest a few minutes of time to support your future WPR listening.
We are, because listener support makes up the largest piece of funding for the programs that you count on. Programs like Garden Talk on the Larry Mueller Show. That's why your gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 is so important.
And we have about 37, 38 minutes left in the show, and we're looking for 26 more gifts. So that's less than 1 minute. Get it started right now. Thank you if you've already given, by the way.
And if you haven't, give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Your gift funds the programs you enjoy. It's as simple as that.
Every day from 11 to 12:30, every weekday, and we take a break from the news and from politics. We focus on advice topics. We talk about the outdoors, interesting things going on at the university and the state, health issues, finance, local authors. And today, every Friday and Saturday morning, is Garden Talk. Every week, we talk with experts about how to keep our gardens growing strong. And we also hear from you with some great advice and tips as well.
That's right. And there's a not-so-secret ingredient in this winning recipe, and that is listener support, your support. You make the program possible when you give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And you might want to be looking for the best way to make your gift, and that could be by becoming a sustainer. You decide on a monthly amount to be charged to your bank account or maybe to your credit card, and you set it up, and it'll be ongoing.
Absolutely, because a sustaining gift is a powerful way of donating. It provides reliable funding for the programs that you count on. You make an easy-to-pay monthly gift, and those donations add up and have a big impact for WPR. So choose an amount, say $10 or $20 a month, and become a sustainer right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
This member drive, stay hydrated with a pair of WPR pint cups. Whether it's iced coffee or just some ice water, these steel, clean canteen cups are the perfect way to enjoy your favorite beverage and show off your WPR pride. What's your favorite drink?
A nice, ice-cold bourbon barrel stout.
A deep, rich red wine.
Okay, the good answer is pink lemonade, but my guilty favorite, cherry Pepsi. Don't tell anyone.
Ask for your pair of WPR pine cups today with your gift of $20 a month or more. Here's how.
Just go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552 and make your contribution. Larry Mueller here with Jill Nadeau. Listeners support the biggest source of funding for our programs, and that's why your support during our fall member drive and during Garden Talk is so important. Maybe your gift is $10 a month, or maybe it's $100 a month. Whatever amount you choose is the right amount.
And we've got about 35 minutes left to this hour, and we're still looking for 26 more people to join in. I know you guys are out there. Pick up that phone or go to your internet. Make your gift to support the programs that you enjoy and rely on every single day.
And here's how to do it. Go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552. Isn't that right, Jill?
That is correct. And you support the things that make your life more meaningful that way. Wisconsin Public Radio is one of those things. Here you get information about events in our area and around the world, and you also get music, humor, and storytelling.
You want a lot of news and information in the coming year? I'm sure you're going to want that. Your support now will help make that possible. You want to listen to Garden Talk all year, every Friday and Saturday morning? You can make a difference right now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552 with your gift of the amount that's right for you.
And we've got a couple more pledges in, so we've got 24 more to go and about a little more than a half an hour. And I know that we can do that because we know that our listeners love the service that we give. WPR is listener powered. That's why your gift now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 is so important.
And I really like the food bank gifts that we have now. You can choose one of the food bank gifts when you give $10 or $20 a month at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. You'll make a difference for WPR, and you will be providing hunger relief to people, and I want to stress this, in your community.
Absolutely. And if you're a sustaining member, thank you. Make today the day that you maybe increase your support for WPR by $5 or $10 a month or whatever amount you choose at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And, you know, Mary in Rhinelander said something nice about the show.
She did. She said, here's my gift for Larry and Chapter Day. Neither are to be missed. So thank you so much.
Taking a look at gardening during the change in season and zeroing in on native plants a bit today with Susan Carpenter, the outreach specialist and native plant gardener at the UW-Madison Arboretum. Questions or comments, I hope you'll join in at 800-642-1234, or you can email us at ideas@wpr.org. And Susan, we have Mike on the line from Western Vernon County, so let's go there. Mike, thank you for calling.
Hi. My question is about collecting seeds from some native prairie plants I have growing on the property I live on. In particular, it's evening primrose, mountain mint, and partridge peas, and what's the best time to plant them? Are they supposed to go on in the ground this fall or in spring? And I'd also like to know if it's possible to turn a prickly pear cactus into a house plant. And I'll take my questions, my answers off the air. Thank you.
All right. Thanks for calling. What do you think, Susan?
Okay. Well, the seed collecting, this is just a really fun activity. And the tips I would give on that is, first of all, make sure that the seed is ripe and ready to go. And a good way to do that with the different species that were mentioned, seeds are produced in all kinds of ways on plants. So the if there's a pod, you want to make sure that the pods are kind of naturally beginning to open or at least get loosened, kind of dry, and then get the seeds from that. Mountain mint, something like that, where the seeds are produced on top, the upper part of the plant, you can turn that part over and kind of shake it like a salt shaker or pepper shaker and see if you get any seeds out of it there. And then those would be ready to harvest. And you can either cut the whole stem off and then shake them out at your leisure somewhere else, or you can do it in the field. It's kind of depends on the species. So the important thing about the seeds is you want to store them in cool, dry conditions. If you're not, just as you collect them, so paper bags or cloth bag, so that they don't get moldy or have any moisture, residual moisture in them. Maybe if you have a lot of them, you might want to have them spread out on a tray, maybe a screen tray or a fan, so that you can get them, get them dried out pretty well. Each individual species has its own requirements or lack of requirements for treatment before it germinates. So some species don't need, like a lot of our grasses or, say, bee balm are very attractive, lavender, mint family member there. Those don't have a requirement for a cold, moist treatment, basically. They don't have to be out over winter.
okay.
in order to break their dormancy. But a lot of species do. So what you should do if you have the different species that you've collected is check a resource like one of the nurseries, like Prairie Nursery or Prairie Moon Nursery, have charts that show the requirements for stratification, or do they need a treatment of cold, moist treatment or some other treatment in order to break their dormancy. And then you judge based on that. So just in general, our prairie forbs, many of them, require that 30 or 60 days of cold, moist treatment. So the ideal thing to do would be to wait for a little while until, say, into November, and have your area prepared, some bare soil, and then put the seed down in November and get it in good soil contact. That way, they'll go through the winter. That will provide that stratification, and they'll germinate next spring. If you put the grasses down that late, they'll just sit there until spring if they don't get eaten. Until spring and germinate then. If you plant grasses now, if you plant too early, and, you know, this all depends on the exact weather of the fall and of the region, but if you plant too early, say in the summer, those plants may start growing, but then they may get damaged by winter. So planting the seed later in the fall is a good idea as a rule of thumb.
Mike had a question about prickly pear, wondering if he could bring a prickly pear inside and make it a houseplant.
I would be fascinated to know what happens with that. We have prickly pears in our Sand Prairie garden, and of course during the winter they, or really anywhere where they're growing, they kind of shrivel and they dry and they pucker up, and then in the spring they plump back out again and produce new pads. So I have never tried that, and I would be very interested actually to try it this year based on his question. I don't know what will happen. I would say be wary of overwatering it. Almost let it dry out. It may require, for that spring growth, it may require a real pattern of, several months of dry weather. It may not need the cold, but it may need that dry. And then in the spring, when everything is starting up again, that would be time to give it a little bit of water and see how it responds. But I hope he does the experiment and lets us know what happens on that.
Yeah, for sure. Mike, do that. And it's going to look like it's a goner. It's going to look dead at some point. But
it could very well look dead, but they really do plump back up, and they'll produce two kinds of new growth next year. So, and we have ours growing in pure sand. So they'll produce a little green lump along the edge of the pad. That is a new pad. And then a little bit later, so they're blooming in the end of June, early July. So at that point, there'll be some more pointed, as the plant is more mature, there'll be some pointed buds that form in the same places along the edge of the pad, and those are the flower buds. And the flowers are beautiful. They only last for one day, but they're really well worth it. So I hope he can propagate them indoors. That would be very interesting to know.
Give it a shot, Mike. Mike sounds like he knows what he's talking about there.
Mm-hmm.
I'm looking forward to hearing how this turns out, Mike, so let us know. Chris and Adams had sent an email about irises. Her friend is dividing her irises. She noticed that the mother rhizome stops the babies from blooming and wonders why that happens.
So these are when they're still connected?
Yeah, it sounds like it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm not sure about that. I mean, obviously the iris does propagate vegetatively. In other words, you plant one and it can grow out into a clump. But it also, if it blooms, it also produces a pod of seeds, and it's actually a kind of maybe 2 inches long and about 3/4 of an inch wide when it's mature, and it opens up all along, so several lines, and the seeds are like, it looks a little bit like brown corn on the cob. They're packed in there, and those seeds also don't have a requirement for stratification. So they can just be planted immediately. I, in fact, just planted some yesterday from a pod in our garden. It, mm-hmm. it turns out that when plants are very young, they don't bloom yet. So I'm wondering if what she's seeing is that the main plant is putting, you know, making new, you know, a number of new sprouts around it, and those individual sprouts aren't large enough yet to be blooming. Yeah, but I don't know if maybe there's more to it than that. Maybe she could try dividing them.
And yeah, see what happens. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And planting those seeds, because some of those little ones may have started from seeds as well.
Yeah. Mary in Chippewa Falls, hi, thanks for calling.
Hi. Yes. So I'm part of the Wisconsin Healthy Lakes Project, and this spring we actively did 190-some plantings. But now I want to know what to do that we're getting ready for fall. A couple of my questions is the do I cut the plants back? And the other one is do I put mulch on there? And if so, what type of mulch? And the other thing is I have jumping worms. And so we're trying to get rid of those. And what is the products that I should be putting on now so I try to get rid of the cocoons?
That's okay. That's a lot to talk about. You know what? I'm going to have you ponder that, Susan, for a minute, because Jill Nadeau is now snuck in again. She is sneaky that way. She comes in and she goes, and she's here again because we're in our fall member drive, of course. And we're here today to raise the money that pays for the programs you enjoy, programs like this one. We just had a good question from Mary in Chippewa Falls, and Susan's contemplating the answers. Well, we talked to you about why your support is so important. Support WPR right now. Support Garden Talk. Go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552 and make your contribution. Time's running out.
I'm a free spirit, Larry. I'm a free spirit. So we've got about 20 minutes left to go, and we're still looking for 18 to make our goal. So we've got time to do it, and I'm sure everybody out there will be coming in soon. This will go until 12 o'clock. Remember, when you give, you fund the Larry Mueller Show, and Garden Talk included, and all the other WPR programs that you count on. So give now, WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Susan Carpenter comes on the show as a member of the Garden Talk crew of experts to talk about native plants and throughout the course of the year. You know, every Friday and then Saturday morning, we bring in guest experts to talk with you about how to make your garden better. I think it's a benefit to a lot of people. How's your life enriched by it? How is it maybe unique to public radio? I think it is. WPR is listener supported, and so when you give at WPR.org or you phone 888-202-2552, you make this program and many more hours possible. So choose an amount that works for you, take a couple of minutes, and make your gift.
Just think about what you spend money on every day. Is it coffee? Is it takeout? You know, it all adds up. And it's easy to spend on things that are part of your routine.
And I like to think that WPR is part of your routine as well. It's your news source, your conversation starter, your place to learn more about gardens and everything else. So spend a little money on it today. Start with a dollar a day, maybe. That's $30 a month at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
I started donating quite a few years ago. I took the plunge. It was the first thing that I had ever done with the sustaining type of membership. It was painless, and so I've just continued. I trust Wisconsin Public Radio. I also trust them to use my money wisely. I'm Bea Liebel from Merrill, Wisconsin. I encourage you to join me in sustaining Wisconsin Public Radio.
Just go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552 and make your contribution. Larry Mueller with Jill Nadeau. Your support during our fall member drive makes the programs you rely on possible, and your gift, maybe it's 10 or 20 bucks a month, whatever amount you choose is the right amount.
However you choose to give, thank you very much. Your support is powerful. And today there's still something more that you can do to help. Encourage a friend to join Wisconsin Public Radio community.
Spread the love. Tell your
friends and family.
Yeah. Tell them you support WPR, and maybe you'll inspire them to do the same thing at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
So we have a little less than 20 minutes to go, and we're still looking for 18 more people to join in. Your gift today at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 ensures a bright future for the programs that you rely on.
And you can choose one of the food bank gifts when you give $10 or $20 a month. Just go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552. You'll make a difference for us at WPR, and you'll provide hunger relief to people in your community.
And now is a great time to become a sustaining member. It's easy to set up. It's convenient. You just have ongoing monthly donations from your bank account or credit card. So get started at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. And like Kate in Beaver Dam says, I love Garden Talk and Larry, but I also appreciate having a news source that I can trust. How important is that?
Yeah, WPR, we're listener supported. Your gift is so powerful. It really makes a difference. Go now to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552 and thank you. You're listening to Garden Talk on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here with my guest Susan Carpenter, the senior outreach specialist and native plant gardener at the UW-Madison Arboretum. So we're talking about these changing seasons now. We're in the fall as of this past Tuesday, and looking at native plants, and we've taken some other questions as well. Questions for her, give a call at 800-642-1234, email at ideas@wpr.org. And Mary in Chippewa Falls joined in. She's working on a Healthy Lakes project, planted in the spring, now kind of wondering what to do for the fall, wondering if do we cut the plants back, we mulch, what about jumping worms that have become a problem. Mary, are you still with us?
Oh, yes, I am.
What kind of plants are you talking about native plants or what?
Yes, it's a project that is done through the DNR. And so, yes, all of them are native plantings. And like I said, there's about 190 some down there by the lakeshore. And so this is all new to me.
Sure.
And, yep. Yeah,
well, let's
so
see what Susan's got to say.
I don't know what to do with it.
Yeah, sure.
Well, it sounds like you've had a really successful planting, though. If you feel that the plants grew well this year?
I was very surprised how well they grew.
Yeah. Okay.
The thing that stopped me were the jumping worms.
Right. Well, actually, I think you'll find they're somewhat resilient to jumping worms. I'll say a little more about that in a moment. But anyway, I'm so glad that you're planting there by the lakeshore and involved with a Healthy Lakes program, because that is something that's so important here in Wisconsin with all of our lakes, and the health of the lake depends so much on the health of the land around it. So as to your question about what to do now, you've got a successful planting. In the first year when you plant the plants, that's a new planting, and it will fill in, there won't be as much blank space around it in coming years because the plants are producing seed and they're growing vegetatively with their underground stems and filling in the area. So that's exactly the way we started our native plant garden at the Arboretum. and you'll find it develops and changes over time. I would not cut back the plants. I mean, if you have something really, really tall and, you know, it's falling down into your pathway or something, then fine to try, to cut that off. But otherwise, the plants have seeds in them. They have, you know, some of them are still probably developing their underground the underground structures that are going to be the growing tips for next year. So it's probably best just to leave them. And this is where one of my garden volunteers once said, when I told her about that, she said, "So you want me to not work as hard?" And I said, "Right."
That's right.
So you don't have to cut them back, and you really don't have to mulch them. But if you do have bare space in between your plants at all from your early, in this early planting stage, you can just use, if you do trim off some of the taller stuff and just get it a little bit shorter, you can just let that material be the mulch, because then the seeds will go into the soil and, you know, you won't have be introducing other mulch that might have weed seeds and so on to get competing with your native plants. The jumping worms, now my advice about jumping worms would be the kind of the opposite, is or kind of not mulching with anything heavy, because the jumping worms do well under mulch. And in the garden that I take care of, we cut back on wood chip mulching in beds where we knew jumping worms were present. And so then the soil dries a little bit more, and it's not as hospitable for them. You won't get rid of them that way, but you can, you know, not make things so so good for them by adding more mulch and keeping it more moist. There are possibly going to be some recommendations about treatment, but I am not up on the very, very latest of that. We have had quite a bit of research going on at the Arboretum. I do know that if you had, say, if all of your gardening was in small amounts of soil and just in pots, that if those if that soil's heated up to pretty high temperature for a period of time, that kills the cocoons. But otherwise, we haven't found any magic silver bullets for killing cocoons yet. So I would say do subscribe to the Arboretum newsletter online at our website, and keep and you could always send an inquiry into our ecologist, Brad Herrick. He's working on jumping worms quite a bit in his research now over the last few years. So they've made a lot of progress, and they have a lot of publications coming out, different things that they've learned about jumping worms, really just from the fact that nobody knew very much about them at all. Yeah. Just a few years ago.
A little trial and error and everything else in there. Mary, good luck. Thank you so much for calling. Sounds like you are off to a great start in Chippewa Falls. Marcy in Washington Island, what's on your mind?
Hi, thank you for taking the call and enjoy the show so much. We have about 400 feet close to the road where we live. It's a gravel road, and all of a sudden, wild raspberry bushes have taken over the whole area, and we started pulling them. I'm reluctant to use any weed killer on them, so I didn't know, is this a good time to just do it, and that's what you have to do to get rid of them?
Yeah, wild raspberries are, and other brambles of that, they're members of the rose family. They do... They might have started from seed, but chances are they're started from underground, you know, from underground stems. They're very, so areas that are disturbed either by fire, by mowing, by, you know, roadside, like you said, that's really their, you know, the place they do the best. What kind of vegetation do you want to have in that area?
Eventually, what I would really like to do is pull it all. This is all sand soil, very sandy soil, mm-hmm. and just plant native grasses in that area.
Mm-hmm. One thing you could do, I'm not sure if this is true, but it seems to me that if you do have grasses growing there, if they are large enough and have large enough root systems, that they would eventually be the result. You know, as time passed, they would take over more, and the brambles would not. But the brambles are going to be. I mean, you'd want to give the grasses a chance too. So I guess
I would mow,
you know, get them down as much as you can, and go ahead and seed some grasses in, and then keep an eye on how those are doing. You know, if you have, I don't know what kind of grasses you are planning to do, but if you have bunch grasses or large grasses, that may, you know, if that would work in your area. I'm not sure Washington Island what climate conditions might be there, but if you have further questions on that, Marcy, feel free to email, and I can think about that a little bit more and get back to you.
All right, that makes good sense. Marcy, thank you so much for calling. Appreciate your call. Jill Nadeau is back with us again. She's got some grass. Are you crawling through the grass? What the heck are you doing?
Hey, all good gardeners have like grassy knees on their pants, right?
Well,
mud,
I guess,
grass, you name it.
Well, she's here because our goal is to keep bringing you topics like this and to keep bringing you garden talk every Friday and every Saturday morning. Your support makes that happen. And I hope you'll give right now. Any amount makes a difference at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
And Larry, we just need 12 more people to join in the next, 5 minutes, and then we'll meet our goal. Now, these hourly goals are set up to make sure that we have the funding for the programs and you enjoy, like Garden Talk. So make your donation now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Every Friday, we have expert guests come and talk about your garden and answer questions about the garden. I think it's a real benefit to gardeners throughout the state. I hear more about Garden Talk than almost any show I do. Maybe your life is enriched by Garden Talk. I hope it is. It's something that's kind of unique to public radio. We're listener-supported, and that means when you give, you're putting in a vote for Garden Talk at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. You make this program and many other hours possible. So choose an amount that works for you. Take a few minutes. Help us reach this goal and make your gift.
And this member drive, you can provide hunger relief in your area. So ask for a food bank thank you gift when you give $10 a month or more today.
Thanks for making a difference for your neighbors and the WPR programs you love. You'll be making that difference when you go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552.
Hi, I'm Jennifer Andreka, and I live in Madison. I started listening when I was a grad student here in 1976. I think I became a member when I returned to Madison as an adult. One reason I love listening is that I'm interested in a lot of different things, and WPR always has a lot of different things. I can hear everything from politics to gardening to travel information. I love just hearing that variety of things.
Give now so you can hear more of the programs you love. Go to WPR.org and click donate. Thank you.
That's right. Go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552 and make your donation in support of the programs you count on. Larry Mueller here with Jill Nadeau. Your support today keeps all of our programs going strong. And whether your contribution is $10 a month or $100 a month, we appreciate and we count on your gift.
And you know what? We only have a few minutes left. We've only got 7 minutes or 7 more people to join in, and we'll meet our goal. So your gift right now is so important, because when you give, you support the programs that you rely on every day.
Only 7 more to go. Thanks if you've already given. If you haven't, time is now. Give at WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552.
And really, a $10 a month contribution to Wisconsin Public Radio works out to just 35 cents a day. And that's a really great value.
Yeah, make a gift of $10 a month right now. Go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552, and you will get a lot in return.
You will. 1 minute to go. Seven more people to join in. Go to WPR.org or 888-202-2552 to ensure a bright future for the programs that you rely on.
And choose one of the food bank gifts when you give $10 or $20 a month at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. You make a difference for WPR, and you will be providing hunger relief to people in your community.
Absolutely. And now is a great time to become a sustaining member. It's easy to set up convenient ongoing monthly donations from your bank account or your credit card. So get started at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And like Colin from Milwaukee says, the fact that I can hear Larry's Garden Talk every Friday is just a cherry on top of the day of listening at WPR.
Go now to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552, and thank you. You're listening to Garden Talk on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here with my guest, Susan Carpenter, back with us. She's the Senior Outreach Specialist and Native Plant Gardener at UW's Arboretum. So what plant questions do you have? Give a call, 800-642-1234, or send an email to ideas at WPR.org. And Susan, we have Jan in Madison who's been waiting a bit, so let's go to Jan, see what's on her mind. Hi, Jan.
Hi, thank you. I have an elder neighbor who lives in a four flat, and she has bushes to protect her door so she can sit. And she's got a burning bush out there. One half of it is dead. And I couldn't find anything on Larry's site, and I want to know how to treat it, replace it, where to send a picture, briefly. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So a burning bush is not a native tree, but I do have some experience with it. A couple of years ago when we had those very severe cold snap, it seemed that that had a very bad effect on burning bush. And so what would happen would be a mature tree would, or portion of a mature bush would die back and basically just become bare. And then new growth would come up from the base or from the branches lower down and start to kind of fill it in. So depending on the exact situation with that burning bush, it might be able to kind of recover itself with just removing the dead wood, you know, sawing it off down, you know, close to where the base is, or well, just wherever you can see that you could get a, get it sawed off, and then letting the new growth fill it in. Now, that said, as a native plant gardener, I have pulled up so many seedlings of burning bush out of the native plant garden. It is a plant that it does have the potential for being invasive. The berries are spread by birds, especially birds perching in trees nearby or even a little further away. So at the Arboretum, our horticultural gardener several years ago took out the burning bush specimens because of that reason. We were starting to see them show up in the woods and the restorations. Some of them actually transported there probably by turkeys, having fed on the fruits and then traveled over into the woods and dropped the seeds off. So for us, it was more of an ecological, that's kind of more of an ecological decision, but it means we don't have to deal with burning bush problems, and except for the fact that a lot of the seedlings are still, seeds and seedlings are still scattered around, and I encounter those. So you get to recognizing them when they're very, very tiny. I might suggest to the listener that they replace that shrub with a more hardy native shrub. So something like a nine bark, depending on the location there, but a nine bark is a lovely shrub that forms a kind of rounded shape like that, has pretty fall color, or any number of other native shrubs that might work well. So those would be my suggestions. Look up some native shrubs to substitute for the burning bush.
Yeah, if the burning bush worked there, the nine bark would work there too.
Mm-hmm. Right? That's the first one that comes to mind. But of course, not knowing the site, there's probably other options and other possibilities that would work.
There you go, Jan. Thank you so much for calling. Appreciate your call. Coreopsis. Know anything about Coreopsis? The listener who emailed says they love them. Their sister calls it tickweed. It's hardy. It blooms most of the summer. It's yellow. I'm wondering if it's invasive.
Well, we have the Coreopsis. There's a couple Coreopsis that I grow in the native plant garden. One is Prairie Coreopsis, and it's a relatively short plant, about knee-high at the most, and it does grow with underground stems, so it spreads through an area, but it's not particularly aggressive. It blooms earlier in the summer, and it doesn't bloom at this time of year, but the seeds are available now. So it's a good plant for home gardens because it's, if you have the right conditions, it's quite, you know, kind of short and not, although, you know, it doesn't get too tall and kind of overpowering other things. The other one is Sand Coreopsis, which is an even smaller plant, more of a cluster and not so much of a spreader, as I just described, but it does seed, and it grows in like a sandy rock garden kind of situation very well. There may be other plants there's another Coreopsis that's really tall, and that one I would not recommend because it does tend to be kind of aggressive and take over. It's not really technically native around here either, so it's not quite in sync with our habitats.
Yeah. You can join in too, by the way. We'll get you on pretty quickly. 1-800-642-1234. Email at ideas@wpr.org. You know, the Arboretum has a project called Journey North, and I think it's might be worth it to talk a little about that.
Sure.
And I think it's something people can get excited about.
Yeah, Journey North is an exciting project. It's a citizen science project, so something that anyone can participate in just from home. And what it involves, right now it's actually, the name of the project is Journey North, but right now the participants are journeying south. Migrating south. So we focus on monarchs and hummingbirds as far as the migrating species that are kind of the most noticeable right now. Monarchs, of course, are migrating south to Mexico, and those are the butterflies. And then the hummingbirds are bulking up to fly across the Caribbean to Central and South America to overwinter there. So when you think about these small creatures, of course, our gardens and landscapes are supporting them in their preparation for migration, but people can document their migration, and this is where we come in. So if you see a monarch, like I just saw one in the garden yesterday, you can have an account on Journey North and a lot of information there, and you can submit a photo, you could submit your observations, and then these go into real-time maps. So right now we could go in and we could see where are the monarchs, where are they in their migration? For the most part, they're down in there's still some here, but they're for the bulk of them are down in, say, Kansas at this point, heading on their way to Mexico. So hummingbirds, it's always interesting to see when do they arrive in the spring? When do we see our last ones in the fall or even in the early winter? So this is a place where you can see what other people are observing. You can put your own observations in, and there's just a wealth of information there. And it's especially exciting in the spring, too, because we're always eager to see those changes. There are other projects within the website and the website. If you just go to journeynorth.org, you will see, you'll just be opening up a world of interest.
Yeah, that's, I think that's a really, really cool project.
Yeah.
I love that project.
Yeah. And another one where you can document insects with, again, and this is with photography, is Bumblebee Brigade. And I just, as we've been here on the program, I just received an email from Bumblebee Brigade, the September update, and where I learned that there have been over 3,000 entries, submissions of photos. And this is just the third year of this project with the DNR. So Wisconsin has our own project for documenting bumblebees, and so many rare bumblebees. Someone found a nest of the rusty-patched bumblebee this year, so we've been able to look into more information about that. I just got some videos last week of someone who found queen bumblebees digging into the soil for their overwintering places. It's just been a really wonderful project. So that's another one that people can participate. There's still some bumblebees out. So Bumblebee Brigade is another one of these citizen science projects.
We have Andrea in Wonder Lake, Illinois, up next. Andrea, hi. Thank you for calling.
Thank you. This is always most interesting. The winter of 2013 really ravaged our landscaping and took several of our trees. I'm looking for a tree to put in our front yard, which is buffeted by northwest and south winds, especially west. And I'd like it to be fairly low branched, not so low that my husband can't mow under it, but low and spreading. And I would like it to be as hardy as it could be in this climate, because a lot of ornamental trees, as you know, really don't live long in this climate. Mm-hmm. And then we had another one that was decorative in the front yard, ornamental, just unusual somewhat. And I wouldn't mind replacing that one either. Do you have suggestions?
Well, I would, as you've kind of alluded to already in your description, I would go with native species. And it could be that, you know, like in the front, it sounds like maybe you're not looking for a huge tree. Sometimes a large shrub might be the ticket there. I think we have to be aware when we're planning for a tree or shrub what kind of exposure it has. So you've kind of talked about the wind and the exposure to, you know, the prevailing winds. But you want to be sure, if you're, like, for example, at the north side of the house, you can have a bit of a microclimate out from the house. So if the tree is planted as, or if the shrub is planted as a foundation planting, you need to be aware that on the north side, it could be cooler and moister than you think, just because of the proximity of the house and the shading of the house itself. If you're out away from the house, then this isn't as important, unless you're on, say, a steep north-facing slope or something like that. But you'll find that the native, I think the main thing you want to do in your area is to make sure that you've matched the soil type with the tree. So don't try to plant a tree that does better in dry soils with, you know, in a swampier area, in a low wet area. And don't try to plant a tree that likes a lot of moisture in an area that's kind of high and dry, or, you know, very well drained. So I think your experience of having trees that died in 2013 is not at all surprising, given what happened in 2012. With that, you know, very, very hot and dry period that we had then, a lot of trees were damaged during that time, and that damage was continual. You know, we saw that continuing on even years after that date. So I guess I'd look for trees that match your soil type, and that, with that idea of the exposure, you know, match that too. Low and spreading branches, if a tree is growing, like an oak, say, is growing in the open, it will have spreading branches, and then you carefully, over the few years that it gets, you know, starts to get bigger, you carefully prune it so that you've lifted it properly for the mowing underneath, but not too much, so that it's, you know, has a good crown to support itself. It'll, you know, that will, that like a, anything like a bur oak, even a white oak will naturally grow in a, you know, in the open, will grow with a good diameter to it.
Andrea, thank you so much for calling. And Susan, thank you so much. Always a pleasure to talk with you on the Ideas
Fun
Network.
To be here.
Susan Carpenter, she's the outreach specialist and native plant gardener at the UW-Madison Arboretum. When I have a plant question and Susan Carpenter isn't around, I usually go to Jill Nadeau. She's the pothead at public radio with all these pots of succulents growing right in there, right next to our studios, and she's back with me today with no pots in her hand, but she's got some ideas. She's got some ideas about the fall member drive, and your gift, any amount, makes these discussions possible, and listener support's the biggest source of funding for our shows, and that's why your support at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552 is so important.
It certainly is, Larry. And, you know, I always am full of ideas, always have ideas. And I've got an idea right now. I'm going to thank everybody who renewed or who made ongoing monthly gifts as a sustainer. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Listeners who renew and monthly sustainers are the backbone of WPR.
And if you haven't given yet, you can join the thousands of other WPR our members by donating at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
And think about it. If you name it, you've heard about it on the Ideas Network, science, the environment, the great books. It's a valuable service, a service that's worth supporting.
Yeah, make your contribution of $10 or $20 a month or whatever amount you choose to support this program, to support Garden Talk and all the other Ideas Network programs that you enjoy. It's your chance to make the programs possible. Go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552 and make your contribution.
And during this member spot, you can give a couple of ways because we have a special gift. Ask for one of the food bank thank you gifts. There are options available at $10 or $20 a month.
Your donation to WPR will power essential news, quality entertainment, garden information, and your thank you gift will provide hunger relief to people in your community. So give now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
Now, we know that physical exercise is an important part of staying healthy, like gardening. Well, so is mental exercise. So getting your daily mental workout is easy when you listen to Wisconsin Public Radio.
Listening to WPR, it keeps your brain in good shape, and that's worth your support. You ought to look at, I tell you what, Jill's got a brain like you wouldn't believe, and she listens to WPR all day long, and her brain is in great shape. Yes. Your gift can help your brain, and it also will help us. Your gift, any amount, helps pay for the programs you keep WPR healthy, and you can do it right now. Go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552. We're coming to the end of our Garden Talk drive anyway, so it's time to do it right now.
Absolutely. And you know what? Maybe you're listening and you've never given to WPR before. Well, today you can find out how it feels. How does it feel, Larry?
Oh, it feels great. I did it again just yesterday. I talked myself into providing another donation to public radio, and it only took me like 2 minutes. I did it online, something you can do too. Because you will be supporting something you love, something you use and rely on every day, because the largest source of funding comes from people like you, make your first ever gift of $100 or $10 a month or whatever amount right for you at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
Sometimes we spend money on silly things.
I blew my $8 on this cable. I've got another cable just sitting around the house doing nothing.
Postage to send a care package to my son in Texas that was outrageously expensive.
It might have been dryer sheets on Amazon.
It's pretty easy to make a questionable decision about how we spend our money, and it can be just as easy, and not a bad idea, to make a few sound investments along the way, like supporting Wisconsin Public Radio. Listener support is the single largest source of funding at WPR, so make a sound investment with your gift to WPR right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
I know Jill Drew blew a lot of her money on new pickleball paddles, but she still had enough money to get...
Don't tell!
She still had enough money to donate to WPR, and you can too. Give right now at WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552. Larry Mueller with Jill Nadeau. Listener support is so important to support the programs you enjoy during this fall member drive. Really important. And maybe your gift is $10 a month. Maybe it's $100 a month. Whatever amount you choose is the right amount.
That's right. You know, supporting Wisconsin Public Radio right now is a great thing to do with just a few minutes of your time. Like Larry said earlier, all you need is your name, your contact information, how much you'd like to give, and how you'd like to pay.
And your gift supports the stories and the programs that keep you connected to the world. Easy to do. Go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552.
And remember, everyone should make the gift that works for them. And for you, that might be a gift of, who knows, $100 or $200 a month.
Yeah, maybe that's what you pay for cable or maybe your family phone plan. Listening to WPR is something you probably do every day. Put a value on it like other things that are important to you. Just go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552.
You know, you love WPR because it's your source of intelligent radio. And there are costs associated with this quality. That's where you come in. Your support is very important.
And I can tell you from experience, I just did it yesterday, making a gift is quick and easy. You'll be finished in no time at all. I did it during the news break. Your contribution in any amount, 10, 20 bucks a month at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552 makes WPR possible.
Maybe you donated a few years ago and you feel like, oh, I've done my part. Well, it's your continued support that keeps WPR going.
Yeah, if it's been a while since you donated, this is a perfect time to renew. Just go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552.
Yep, we'll be glad to have you back because you make WPR possible with your gift at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
Jill and I are going to have to go away here in just a few seconds now, but I want to thank you so much if you've already given. It's a great feeling on our part to have you give during our program and during Garden Talk, but you may be supporting Garden Talk, but you're supporting all the programs. So your gift is really powerful. Go to WPR.org if you haven't done it yet, WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552. Make your contribution. Thanks if you've already given. If you haven't, do it right now. I'm Larry Mueller with Jill Nadeau for Garden Talk.